Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly.
To anyone who can truly say that he has found a better way, yeah.
This opening number, Southern Nights, comes to us from Glenn Campbell, and he is, in fact, our featured artist this week. Thanks to Mr. Marlowe Boyd of Pleasant Hill, California, for this recommendation. Our trivia questions come to us today from Shannon and Javna's 1986 book entitled Behind the Hits. Question number one, what do the songs MacArthur Park, The Worst That Could Happen, and By the Time I Get to Phoenix have in common? Is it A, they were all written by the same person? B, they were all about the same love affair? C, they are all about the same woman named Susan? Or D, all of the above? Question number two, what's the name of the song from the Beatles' White Album that was performed by Eric Clapton on that recording? Hint, here's a snippet from that tune. This is Eric Clapton performing on this Beatles White Album. So you tell me, what's the name of that song that he's performing on that album? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. The transition section for today's program is brought to us by Today in Music History, and today is the weekend of July 22nd and 23rd. These are from MusicOrb.com and VGORecords.com. If you were born on July 22nd, you share a birthday with George Dreyfus. He's the composer, born on that day back in 1928. Also, George Clinton of Kannapolis, North Carolina, the rocker, was born on July 22nd, 1941. You also share a birthday with Rick Davies of Supertramp. He was born on July 22nd, 1944, as was Don Henley, the Eagles, born on July 22nd, 1947. Or, if you were born on July 23rd, you share a B-Day with Ben Weber, the composer, born on that day back in 1916. Don Imus, the radio DJ of WNBC, born on July 23rd, 1940. You also share a birthday with Slash, the guitarist for Guns N' Roses. He was born on July 23rd, 1965, as was Alison Krauss, the country singer, born on July 23rd, 1971. Deaths on July 22nd include Joseph Strauss, the composer. He died on July 22nd, 1870. Deaths on July 23rd include Kay Kaiser, the bandleader. He died July 23rd, 1985. Joe Turner, the jazz pianist, died July 23rd, 1990. And Floyd McDaniel, the blues singer, guitarist, he died July 23rd, 1995. Miscellany in music history this weekend. Well, back in 1963, Introducing the Beatles album was released this weekend. And back in 1965, 2 years after that, The Byrds' Mr. Tambourine Man hits number one. 2 years after that this weekend, Pirate Radio Swinging Scotland closes down for financial reasons. 2 years after that, 1969, Led Zeppelin is awarded gold record for its first LP this weekend. And back in 1997, Sting and Elton John sing an arrangement of Psalm 23 at designer Gianni Versace's funeral in Milan, Italy. In local rock news, we see this article written by Chris Seward, Making the Strings Sing. This was published in News and Observer back on the 10th of July, 2011. The squeak squawk of beginning fiddlers echoed through the old Murphy School in Durham, and the plink plunk of ukulele notes drifted in from down the hall. The joyful noise sprang from 24 amateur musicians who came together recently for the first Pick and Bow Summer Music Retreat. The retreat is the brainchild of Danny Gotham, whose resume includes stints with folk legend Tom Paxton, and Peter Ostruschko, the original music director of A Prairie Home Companion. Gotham joined Jane Pepler and Bob Vasile of the Prairie Heads, a group that specializes in traditional music of the British Isles, in schooling local pickers, strummers, fiddlers, and singers in the finer points of acoustic folk. "It's great being around guys who play so well," said Fred Gore, 57, of Kerry, after an open-tuning guitar class. Gore, who bought his first guitar at age 50, signed up for the retreat at the urging of Gotham, who taught him for several years. He relished the opportunity to jam with other musicians. "It's cool to play with somebody. I've never really played with anybody before." Like Gore, most participants had played guitar before. At the retreat, they learned about open tuning and had a chance to try bouzouki, mandolin, ukulele, and basic bass, along with other instruments. "A lot of people in our field do music camps," Gotham said, "but none were doing this kind of music, acoustic folk." Gore emerged from his open tuning class full of enthusiasm. "Now that I know the right way to do it, I can actually go home and try the darn thing," he said, a smile on his lips. "It's a great way to spend the weekend. I won't get the grass cut, that's for sure." This next article comes to us from the Daily Beast, and it was published on June 29, 2011, entitled Tom Petty's War on Michelle Bachmann. Michelle Bachmann has bumped against a reality that has confronted many GOP politicians who want to use a popular song as a campaign anthem. Like Hollywood, most recording stars tend to be liberal and don't like their music appropriated by the right. Bruce Springsteen versus Ronald Reagan. Far from the first, and certainly not the last, to make this mistake, Ronald Reagan co-opted the boss's Born in the USA for his re-election campaign. The campaign, like many that used the song for various purposes, portrayed its anthemic chorus as flag-waving and nationalistic, when in fact, the song is a reflection of patriotic disillusionment in post-Vietnam America. John Mellencamp versus John McCain and more. Many felt that John McCain lost his maverick moniker during his 2008 run for president. Perhaps this explains why so many rock and roll stars lashed out against his use of their music in the run-up to November. It all started when John Mellencamp, campaigning for the yet-to-be-disgraced John Edwards, noticed that the McCain campaign was using the same songs, like Our Country and Pink Houses, for their rallies that Mellencamp had licensed for Edwards. Though Mellencamp's request was quickly accommodated, McCain's playlist continued to come under fire. Van Halen demanded removal of their song, Right Now. Dave Grohl became angry over the use of My Hero. And Jackson Brown sued McCain and the GOP for playing Running on Empty in an attack ad about gas consumption. The matter was settled out of court. Hart versus Sarah Palin. Walking to the podium at the 2008 GOP convention, then unknown Sarah Palin was greeted with a muted growl of Hart's Barracuda. The song was used because of Palin's similar high school nickname, but the song's writers, the Wilson sisters, took a shot at the vice presidential candidate in a statement lambasting the use of their music. Sarah Palin's views and values in no way represent us American women, Nancy Wilson said. And then there's Sam Moore versus Barack Obama. Though it may seem like Republicans are getting a tough break from liberal-leaning rockers, 2008 saw Democratic candidate Barack Obama getting flack from soul man Sam Moore for the use of Sam and Dave's classic, Hold On, I'm Coming. The civil rights activist who campaigned with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did write then-Senator Obama that he wanted to wish you well in their quest for the nomination, but I have not agreed to endorse you for the highest office in our land. My vote is a very private matter between myself and the ballot box, and that he refused to publicly endorse any candidate. That brings us finally to Tom Petty versus Michelle Bachmann. Michelle Bachmann has already had her share of mix-ups on the campaign trail, like confusing John Wayne Gacy and John Wayne, and claiming that John Quincy Adams was a founding father, which would have made him a contemporary of his father. Now she can add one more to the list playing Tom Petty's American Girl. Shortly after the congresswoman played the opening 29 seconds of his 1977 classic at a rally, the Heartbreaker leader and his management team were up in the arms, firing off a cease and desist letter. This isn't the first time Petty has beefed with a political playlist. In 2000, the Bush campaign used I Won't Back Down, which is playing in the background now, by the way, much to Petty's chagrin. Anna. This next short article comes to us from Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, plunges into music, 2007, entitled Jazz Is, Thoughts About Jazz from Those Who Know It Best. This includes Stan Getz, who said, it's like a language. You learn the alphabet, which are the scales. You learn sentences, which are the chords. And then you talk extemporaneously with the horn. Then there's also George Gershwin, who said, life is a lot like jazz. It's best when you improvise. Pat Metheny said, it's a shame that jazz is now being turned into dried fruit. It's becoming quantized, diced, and defined. To me, jazz is more like a process than it is a thing. And finally, Wynton Marsalis said this, nothing else will ever so perfectly capture the democratic process in sound. Jazz means working things out musically with other people. You have to listen to other musicians and play with them, even if you don't agree with what they're playing. It teaches you the very opposite of racism and anti-Semitism. It teaches you that the world is big enough to accommodate us all. So what do you know about today's featured harvest? Glenn Campbell. Well, this first article was written by Chris Talbot, Associated Press, published in the News and Observer on the 16th of July, 2011, entitled Campbell Plays First Show Since Alzheimer's Announcement, Biloxi. Glenn Campbell leaned over his blue electric guitar, plucked a few strings, and made a sour face. "Dadgummit," he said. Campbell, 75, fiddled a few seconds longer while standing backstage Friday night at the IP Casino Resort and finally found a perfect D chord.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
There it is, he said, before turning on his heel and marching into the spotlight. He launched into Gentle on My Mind and, without so much as clearing his throat, nailed it. That first one is a doozy, ain't it? Campbell asked the crowd. It was classic, Glenn Campbell. Alzheimer's disease may have changed a lot of things in the Country Music Hall of Famer's life, but his ability to create sounds that still resonate in our shared memory, with his blue G&L Comanche on By the Time I Get to Phoenix, or his hammer 12-string on Southern Nights, is virtually untouched. In the night's finest moment, Campbell brought the crowd to its feet after nailing the delicate runs in the middle of his classic Wichita Lineman. Campbell's first performance since announcing he has Alzheimer's, the degenerative brain disease that's slowly robbing him of his memories and abilities, was largely a triumph. His family and road crew were worried he might be rusty after a long layoff since his last performance. Except for a few flubbed lyrics, quickly corrected with the help of teleprompters, Campbell and his band powered through a tight 22-song set, interspersed with self-deprecating jokes. "I tell you, I'm happy to be here," Campbell said. "At my age, I'm happy to be anywhere. It seems like I've been doing this since Hitler was a corporal." Fronting a band that includes close friends and four of his children, Campbell played favorites like Rhinestone Cowboy and Galveston and finished the evening with two songs from his new album, Ghost on the Canvas, out August 30th on Surf Dog Records. The album, which features guest appearances and song contributions from Paul Westerberg, Jacob Dylan, Keith Urban, Billy Corgan, Brian Setzer, Rick Nielsen, and Dick Dale, is Campbell's last studio album. He plans a goodbye tour as well. Friday's show was a one-off, an excuse to gather his family around him and have a little fun. "When I get tired of playing golf, I do one of these," Campbell joked in an interview earlier in the day. Campbell was loose and easygoing all day, joking his way through rehearsal and posing for pictures with fans before and after the show. Two drove 6 hours and showed up with homemade shirts that read, "Glenn Campbell Fan." A couple flew in from Seattle. Another fan noted, "He keeps Campbell's music in heavy rotation on his iPod. It's wonderful to meet someone with taste," Campbell said with a laugh. The following biography comes to us from www.biography.com, 2011. Glenn Campbell. Born Glenn Travis Campbell on April 22, 1936, on a family farm in Billstown, Arkansas, the son of Wesley, a sharecropper, and Carrie Dell, Campbell was one of 12 children. The family was largely impoverished. All the Campbell children pitched in to help pick cotton, but extremely musical, and Campbell showed musical promise early on. At the age of 4, his father brought him a $5 Sears and Roebuck guitar. Within a few years, Campbell was appearing as a paid act and performing guest spots on local radio stations. A talented guitarist by the age of 16, Campbell dropped out of high school and headed out west, where he played with bands in Wyoming's bars and roadhouses. In 1952, he joined the Sandia Mountain Boys, a band founded by his uncle, Dick Bills, and soon became a popular performer on local television and radio shows in New Mexico. At the age of 22, Campbell formed his own band, Glenn Campbell and the Western Wranglers. Shortly after, Campbell relocated to Los Angeles, took a job at the American Music Company, a small publishing house that employed a staff of songwriters. In 1961, at the age of 24, Campbell wrote and recorded the single, Turn Around, Look at Me. Its modest success caught the attention of Capitol Records, and under contract with the label, he became known as a skilled session guitarist and finger picker. Campbell worked as a sideman with artists including Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Merle Haggard, Dean Martin, Nat King Cole, the Righteous Brothers, and the Monkees. Prominent producers Phil Spector and Jimmy Bowen also regularly tapped Campbell for their recordings. In 1965, following Brian Wilson's retirement, Campbell was invited to tour with the Beach Boys as a temporary bassist. 2 years later, he recorded the song Gentle on My Mind, which proved to be a crossover pop success. Campbell's next single, By the Time I Get to Phoenix, also entered the top 40 and earned a Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Performance. That same year, his song Gentle earned the Grammy for Best Country and Western Recording.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing.
As Campbell racked up the accolades, the Country Music Association honored him as Entertainer of the Year. And in 1968, Campbell released his biggest hits to date, Wichita Lineman and Galveston, which is playing in the background now. Both tracks served to narrow the gap between country and pop music. In 1968, Campbell made a guest appearance on the Joey Bishop Show. The Smothers Brothers comedy duo caught the performance and were so taken with Campbell, they presented him with the opportunity to co-host the summer Smothers Brothers show. Campbell's ease, humor, and musical skill charmed audiences and impressed CBS executives, who offered Campbell his own primetime variety show. Debuting in 1969, the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour was a combination of musical acts, comedy segments, and glamorous guest stars. The show, which was produced under the Smothers Brothers production label, became a number one hit in the United States. After his television success, Campbell moved to the big screen. He forged a film career with his debut performance opposite John Wayne in 1969's True Grit. Although the variety series was canceled in 72, the success of his number one singles, Rhinestone Cowboy and Southern Nights, further cemented Campbell's status as a crossover success.
There's been a load of compromising on the road to my horizon, but I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me like a rhinestone cowboy.
Beginning in the late 1970s, while dating singer Tanya Tucker, Campbell's abuse of cocaine and alcohol began to take a toll on his career. The couple's explosive relationship and flagging record sales made Campbell a mainstay in the gossip pages. However, after a few years of touring in the 1980s, Campbell left Los Angeles, successfully overcame his drug habit, and became a born-again Christian. In June 2011, Campbell's fans were saddened to learn the singer had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. His upcoming album, due out in August, and performances scheduled for this fall, will be his last. I still love making music, Campbell told People magazine, and I still love performing for my fans. I'd like to thank them for sticking with me through thick and thin.
With a subway token and a dollar tucked inside my shoe.
This next article comes to us from David Menconi, published in News and Observer on July 8, 2011, entitled Rock Picks. Between Squirrel Nut Zippers and his work with Buddy Guy, Chapel Hill expatriate Jimbo Mathis has cut a wide swath through jazz and blues. But on his latest album, Confederate Buddha, Mathis goes a bit country and lands in the vicinity of interplanetary honky-tonk, honking, twang with a swampy groove. Mathis performed in Chapel Hill on July the 10th. And this next article comes to us from the Associated Press, published in the News and Observer, back on the 17th of June, 2011, entitled, Lady Gaga's Meat Dress Goes to Rock Hall of Fame, Cleveland. Lady Gaga made history at last year's MTV Video Music Awards when she turned butcher's cuts into high fashion. On June 16th, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland unveiled the singer's new raw meat dress to the public. The dress, made of layers of Argentinian beef, was kept in a meat locker, placed in a vat of chemicals, then dried up by taxidermists in California before being transported to the museum. Hall of Fame spokeswoman Margaret Thresher says the dress took on a dark beef jerky look while dehydrating, so it was painted to look fresh afterward. The entire process took several months to complete. The dress is being displayed as part of the Women Who Rock Vision Passion Power exhibit, which runs until February 2012. So how'd you do on those trivia questions? The correct answer for question one is D, all of the above. Jim Webb wrote all three songs about the same love affair he had with a woman named Susan. MacArthur Park, for example, is about a cake he and Susan shared in a Los Angeles park. The Worst That Could Happen was recorded by the 11-piece band The Brooklyn Bridge, who took the song all the way up to number 3 in 1969. And the song By the Time I Get to Phoenix was originally recorded by Johnny Rivers, but Glenn Campbell made it a top 30 hit. By the way, Campbell and Webb also teamed up on Wichita Lineman and Where's the Playground Susie? Question number 2, the answer to that was Eric Clapton laid down the guitar solo on the song While My Guitar Gently Weeps, written by his friend George Harrison, who had been reading I Ching, an Eastern philosophy book about the unity of all things. Harrison was inspired by this work to write a song about the first words he came across in a randomly opened book, and those words were Gently Weeps.
Go on till you
We've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. If you have a suggestion for an artist, group, or genre of music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 832-5138. So long until next time.
Calm down, I know. Yes, I know.